Yo, yo, welcome to the Top Podcast, where there's a lot of truth, just as many opinions. I'm your humble host with the most, IV, aka Sweet Brother Noomsie. Please say the Noomsie, you know I got my peoples with me.
What's good, Josh? Your girl Crown Vic.
Here, what it do, baby? It's your boy, Mr. Durag himself, just Doug, in the building.
Hey, family, it's Love, Jamie.
What's up with it? It's your boy, D. Carry, aka Carry These Nuts, aka I'm Dope as Fuck. What's up with it?
And we are the Top Podcast, truly opinionated people. Thanks for tuning in. This is episode 7. This is a very, very real episode. We're going to start off talking about a real topic that we just came off doing the panel interview. Episode 4, man, we were talking about mental wellness with our special guests, Ms. Jamaica Allen and Mr. Keon Hill. And I want to carry that on to this particular discussion with my peoples here, and mainly just talk about our experiences with mental health. As you know, mental health is on the rise and becoming it's more awareness, I would say, being centered around that the discussion, more people talking about it, which I applaud. I love the fact that people are being honest about their experiences with it. So I kind of wanted to just talk to my cast here and see individually what stories we have to tell and share with you all. Who wants to go first? D, I'm going to start with you.
Start with the female, bro.
Start with the female?
Yeah, let's start with the female.
I thought we were just going to go around.
Yeah, we're going to go around this way. No,
no,
no, we're not.
We're not going to argue about this.
It's not an argument.
You want to set it all, bro?
Nah, I don't.
Brother Noomsie set it off.
Yeah, you started
set it off. You brother hearing my voice all the
time.
Set it off.
Well, if you
bring in the rear.
Pause.
If you insist.
Big pause.
Mental wealth, man. And I like to call it mental wellness. You know, a lot of people use different terms, mental illness, mental health. I like to call it mental wellness. But in my experience, coming up on 31 years here, man, I'm the only child. So that was different growing up for me. Just in the sense of having to entertain myself. You know, not having a sibling in the household, and then, you know, primarily, you know, living in a household with just my mom. Pops was around as well, but just in a different household. But being the only child, I got bored easily. So I had to entertain myself, find ways to keep my mind going, stay sharp. Never had issues with in school. Always was pretty much a good student, you know, A, B student, some C's. Couple of D's. But that's later in life. But for the most part, I was
D's get degrees.
You know what I'm saying?
As long as you pass, my brother.
I was an honor student. I did face some challenges early on. I would say elementary going into middle school, not so much high school, but I got bored. And like I said, I would be the student that would challenge the teacher, you know, when she wasn't, he or she, when I felt like they wasn't challenging me academically, I would be the one to kind of like, you know, speak up in class, raise my hand. Nah, that ain't it. You know, that's not the way you do it. My mama told me this. You know what I'm saying? And then I will get punished for it. So what I'm basically trying to say is when it comes to mental wellness, I guess my experience, and I didn't really go through it to, I would say, about middle school, depression that came in. Not so much social anxiety. I was always a social butterfly, if you will. Never had a problem speaking with people, meeting new people. But I think certain insecurities came, like I said, around middle school based off, you know, your appearance. You know, you want to look apart, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of that had to do with going to a school outside of the neighborhood. So I was bused to a different school because of my grades academically, but the kids in the neighborhood kind of gave me a little hard time about that. You know what I'm saying? I didn't understand it at the time. And when I came back to a neighborhood school around middle school, that's when I really started feeling it, because it was like a culture shock for me. You know what I'm saying? Like, even though I grew up with these kids, I was in the neighborhood with them, you know, them knowing that I was being bussed out and coming back. Like I said, I got teased, you know, oh, what you doing here with us? You're supposed to be with the smart kids, blah, blah, blah. So I felt like I had to do certain things to kind of fit in. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And that's when, you know, the different antics started, as far as, you know, me acting out, getting into fights or situations like that. My older cousin had to come in sometime. Ace had to come in sometime, and she would get calls from my dad about my behavior and stuff like that. So she would have to come in and, you know, kind of mediate that situation and help me out. But definitely, like I said, depression, like I said, came in around that time, just dealing with, you know, more so living up to a certain standard. I felt like I wasn't accepted by my peers because of, believe it or not, because of my academic abilities. You know what I'm saying? I got teased because of that. Like, oh, you smart. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, nigga, I do pay attention in class. Like,
that's a good
thing. I never forget in high school, I was, this was like my senior year, because they was, I forget what it was, but they was announcing scholarships. And my name was called. I got a scholarship to go to ECPI at the time. And that's where I met DJ. Shout out to DJ. But I got a scholarship to go to ECPI. And I never forget, I was on the road with a couple of my peers, man. When they called my name, these niggas looked at me like, nigga, you smart? Like, what?
Like, come on, bro.
And I'm like, yeah, nigga. Like, yeah, you know what I'm saying? Smart. And it was one of the most gratifying moments, because don't get me wrong, like I said, I wasn't a perfect student. I did my shit. You know, I would be in class fucking around. But at the end of the day, I did what I had to do to pass. You know what I'm saying? And made sure that I didn't get left behind. That was my main thing, because I couldn't explain that to my dudes. But yeah, man, I think transitioning into my adult life, I think the biggest battle in my personal life that I had to deal with mental health or mental wellness was depression, having these moods. You know, my highs, my lows, certain things having an effect on me, whether it be from weight, whether it be from drinking, something that I had to cut back on for different reasons, mainly health. But for drinking was my go-to vice. That's what I...
That was what you...
That's what I enjoyed doing. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You know, when we used to be out, it was nothing. An average night for me in the club, I would have about 10 to 12 drinks.
Yeah, start off with two.
And we were, that's not including the pregame.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's an average night.
Yeah, that's
crazy. You know what I'm saying? But that's the crew in my immediate circle of friends. That's how we bonded. We drank. You know what I'm saying? That's what we did. And looking back now, I'm like, I don't like that feeling. And getting in trouble and catching the DUI, that was enough right there for me to be like, you know what? I need to slow down a little bit. This is getting out of control. This is getting, you know, out of hand. But definitely a lot of depression came out of that, you know, being in that situation and, you know, not really knowing how to navigate, because, you know, I felt like, you know, life was spiraling out of control. But the good thing about me is I don't stay down for too long.
Yeah.
So even if I have my down moments, I feel like I always got people I can go to have those conversations. You know what I'm saying? Everybody in this table, I've had conversations with about different things that's going on with me, whether it's a health or something, you know, that's going on in my mind. So I'm thankful for that. You know what I'm saying? I think that that's the most important, having that outlet, somebody that you can go to, whether it's a friend, family member, counselor, whomever it may be, to really get that out. But yeah, outside of depression, I really haven't per se had any direct you know, experience with any type of mental wellness that I can remember. I thought at one point I was bipolar, but I don't think that that's the case. I do have mood swings, but I think that's just more so part of my personality trait. Certain things trigger it, you know. But I've noticed since I haven't been drinking as much, the mood swings are not as bad. So I think the drinking was more so, that's something that was kind of messing with my mind, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But don't get me wrong, I still enjoy a good drink. You know what I'm saying? We got the Henny on the table right now. I'm tempted not to drink right now because that's my favorite drink and Doug want to bring it.
Oh, wow. But in the city.
You know what I'm saying? I just made a personal commitment to myself. Like, I'm going to see how long I'm going to go without this. You know what I'm saying? And see if I can still enjoy myself from a sober state. But yeah, that's enough about me. So Vic, your turn. What would you say? Something that you know you had to deal with.
Well, in 2016, I experienced something that I had never dealt with before. I was really confused behind it. I was really kind of in denial about it too. But I had like a this was July of 2016. My mother had just had a heart attack, and she was being released from the hospital. And I don't know if it was that I was worried about her, and then it was a lot going on at work too. And I had a mental breakdown that I was actually hospitalized for. I wrote it down because it's been so many times, but that was the first time. That was I was in there for 3 days. I was at the at Bond Secure Richmond Community Hospital, and they really didn't diagnose me with anything. They just was kind of, you know, they asked me a lot of questions, and they made sure I followed up with people afterwards. And, you know, a lot of the doctors that I saw were trying to say I had a mood disorder. And, you know, I was in denial for a long time, but I was in denial. So anyway, it happened again later on in December of that same year, where I actually, again, had another breakdown and was hospitalized for that. Luckily, they didn't keep me that time. I was released the next day. I was the first time it happened because my family really didn't know what was going on. Nobody knew what was going on with me. I had to be what they call TDO, like temporary detention ordered. Because it was a point where, you know, it wasn't anything medically wrong with me, like physically wrong, but it was something going on. So by that, I lost my rights to bear arms. And that's one thing in Virginia. Whenever you are detained for some sort of mental disorder, you give up your rights for a firearm, which I plan on working on. But, you know, looking back, and it happened. So the last time something like this happened was November of last year. So it's been a full year, and it may not sound like a whole lot, but it was a lot because I can't really tell you right now what triggered it. I really can't say where it may have came from. I think about it every day. I really do, because it's certain things in my life that I can't do because it triggers it. It's certain ways that I have to, in my bedroom, because that's where it usually happens. Sometimes it would happen at home. So it's certain things in my bedroom, like I can't sit my phone a certain way on the table because it reminds me of when those things happen. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And just to give you all a quick rundown, it was like, it was almost like I felt like I was in danger or something. Looking back, I was going through some shit, but I never looked at it like, oh, I'm going to break down from this. I felt like I had it under control. But I don't know. Something. Anyway, you know, of course, the doctors, psychiatrists were all trying to throw certain labels on it or whatever. And I was in denial for a while. Like, I didn't want to hear none of that. Like, the medicines they would prescribe to me, I wouldn't take them. I would stop them abruptly, which would then cause panic attacks because I stopped it abruptly. So it was a lot of, for 2 years, a lot of just back and forth. But I finally just, you know, for me, what healed me and what got me out of that was I found God again. You know, and, you know, I started watching sermons and things, and I started reading more about, you know, battlefield of the mind. Like, the mind is really a battlefield. And it's really like, it's you against yourself a lot of times. And you don't even realize that you intentionally inflict things on yourself by just, you know, your thoughts or whatever. So, but yeah, that's how I pulled myself up out of it. And, again, I don't want to say the labels that they tried to put on me, but what I can say is that, you know, I feel like mental illness is something you gotta want better. You gotta want to get, because some people will walk around and just, that's what they do. They sulk in their feelings, or they, yeah, you know, oh, I'm bipolar. Oh, I'm bipolar. That's why I act like that. Like, some people really succumb to their illnesses. And I didn't want to be one of those people. I didn't. So,
did you want to talk to anyone about that, or like sit on like a couch, like with therapy?
Oh, I did. I saw a therapist a couple of times. It wasn't doing anything for me. I plan to go back, because now I feel like now that I've overcome the actual episodes, I can kind of talk about it, because certain things that I can't really tell. I can't, like, when these things would happen, I would be like in a catatonic state. Like, I couldn't move, but yeah, I knew exactly what was going on. But it was like, it's real hard to explain.
It's like an outer body experience.
Exactly. It was just that bad. I remember talking to another psychiatrist, and this is when things got real. I was talking to her, and it was happening as I was talking to her, but I was fighting through it. It was like everything was going black, because I'm trying to tell her and I'm crying at the same time, because as I'm talking about it, I'm having a fucking panic attack.
Yeah.
And, you know, and she said one of the things that just, oh my God, it tore me apart. She was like, I can't help you. She straight up told me she couldn't help me. And, you know, she said something like, I suggest you go see a neuropsychologist. And I think this is so much more than, you know, she was thinking that it was an illness, like maybe I had a tumor on my brain or something like that. She was saying it more medically, but it really got to me when she said I couldn't help you. So I kind of had to do it myself.
Because you went for help.
Right. Like, yeah, and I ain't gonna say her name or nothing, but yeah, I don't go anymore. But yeah, I really had to do it. I had to do the work. Yeah. Yes, medication helped, because during these times I wasn't sleeping, I wasn't eating. Like, that's just how sick I was, and I didn't even realize it. So the medications, I sleep great now. Actually, I get my sleep, bro, and I be feeling good. My appetite came back.
Sleep is a big thing.
Yeah. It is, and that was one thing that was causing these things to happen so much, because I was not sleeping. I was not sleeping, and I look back, and God, I was in such a dark place. Oh my God, but.
But you came out.
I came out of it.
Glad you came out.
Yes.
For sure.
Yeah.
All right. I mean, shit. Okay. I mean, I don't really have any like crazy experience with it. I mean, I guess the start would probably be like when my dad passed. My dad passed away when I was like 12, back in like 07. Just to kind of give a brief summary of what happened. He was working on a car in the backyard. It was me, my brother, and my sister. We was outside playing around. I guess something happened with the jack that he jacked up. It slipped. The car fell on him. So that's how he passed. So I guess that kind of like now when I'm like, if I had to work on a car, I'd rather just take it to somebody else to fix it. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I can't do that shit.
You
like,
can't. Right. Yeah. It's triggering.
Yeah,
triggering.
Exactly. Like, and like, even with my sister, like my stepdad, when he went to go fix the car, like she freaked out about the shit. So I can tell, like, she remembered it affected her too, because she was really young at the time. But like, I can tell that it still affected her and shit like that. And like
PTSD.
Yeah. And it's like, you don't really realize it's that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you get older and it's like, damn, like, I kind of, you know what I'm saying, deal with that
you.
Shit.
Yeah, that shit still affects you.
And just learning how to grieve, because like, I never really lost like someone close like that. Like, so it's like, how do I go about this now? Like, even, I mean, when it first happened, it's like, I couldn't even talk about it at first. Like, we went to like this little camp where it's like, they had like some type of trauma where they lost people, and we all just come together and talk. And every time it come to me, I ain't saying nothing.
Talk about it.
But I mean, now I can, because it's been like so long and I'm like, I dealt with it. But like before, it was just like, nah, I'm good. I'm not saying nothing to nobody.
Yeah.
But other than that, I mean, another instance is when I was in school, I had to basically drop out. That was the type, I already had like my whole life like planned out. Like, this is what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna do this. Boom, go to college, get my degree, boom. So when that didn't happen, it was like, oh shit, like, now what I do? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So I didn't know at the time, but I was really like depressed about that because it was like I had all this shit planned out and now it's like, damn, now I got to start over. I'm stuck.
Yeah, now
like,
what?
And I pretty much like isolated myself from everybody. Like I walk in the house, not even say nothing to my mom and them, like, and they'd be like, why you walking around not saying nothing to nobody? And it's just like, my bad. Like, I don't know. You know what I'm saying?
You was going through
it. Yeah, you didn't mean nothing by it. It was just, you know.
Yeah, exactly. But
coping mechanism.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Shut down. Know,
I'm good now. You know what I'm saying? I didn't really have no therapy or nothing like that. Mm-hmm. But just, you know, talking to like close friends and shit like that kind of got me out of that. And yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Put you up out of it.
I'm good.
For sure.
I mean, that's all. Like, I don't got nothing, you know what I'm saying? Nothing else too crazy. But yeah. That would be my personal experience with it.
Gotcha.
So.
Well, I'm going to talk about something that on a smaller scale is kind of happening right now in this moment. And I don't know why. Maybe it's because we're about to talk about, you know, sharing our personal experiences, but anxiety. My heart is literally beating fast right
Mine
now.
Mine was too.
Talking don't about feel bad. This. Yeah. And I preface it with that because I feel like out of all of the mental disorders, and I'm not necessarily saying I have a disorder, but I feel like when it comes to anxiety, be it social anxiety or whatever it is, it's we're kind of like pushed to the side, like, you just had a bad day, or maybe you're just stressed about something. I'm sure you can hear it in my voice now, and I don't know.
It's cracking.
I don't know why.
Mine was doing the same thing.
I don't
thing.
Know why, That's but okay. like for me, like in 2012, when this is when I really like looked into it because I never experienced it. So 2012, I had a couple of health things going on. And every time I would go, or that I thought was going on, and every time I would go to the doctor, and when I say doctor, I mean ENT, neurologist, chiropractor, everywhere that I was going to get every type of test, exam, whatever done, Miss Nelson, you have a clean bill of health. There's nothing wrong with you. And I'm like, but I'm having heart palpitations and it's lasting all day. Mm. What do you mean nothing is wrong with me? My legs are tingling. Like, and it will not stop. It feels like I need to be in a stretched position. What do you mean nothing is wrong with me? I was actually having like twitches. My lip would twitch. My eyelid would twitch. It got so bad for me going to so many different physicians telling me that nothing was wrong with me and that I was fine on paper and on, you know, documents. But I'm literally experiencing this with my body. It got so bad that I stopped taking. This is going to sound so wow, I stopped taking the highway to work and home. I started taking local routes because I felt some type of security in knowing that a patient first or an urgent care or a hospital was closer to me if I took a local route. I've actually taken myself to the hospital quite a few times. Mm. And I didn't realize that I was having panic attacks. And when people would say, well, you're having, you know, an anxiety attack, I'm like, well, I don't personally feel like I'm anxious about anything. But when I came on the other side of that and I had to look back at it, I said, well, I probably was anxious because I'm physically not feeling as though I'm 100%. But every doctor I go to tells me, no, you're perfectly fine. It would get so bad where I literally would think about breaking traffic laws. I know it sounds funny, but let me get to a patient first or an urgent care like right away, because I literally felt like in that moment, as dramatic as it sounds, that my life was literally about to end. There are many times I've called Victoria and I may not have told her in that exact moment, just talk to me right now. Call my dad, call my mom, roll down the window if I'm driving. Just talk to me to divert my mind off of me feeling like, okay, here are the palpitations. I'm like really focusing on my breaths just to calm me down. Talking about it since, you know, I just now opened up, I'm starting to feel a little bit better about it. Yeah. But the entire time from you to then you and then to you, I'm sitting here and I'm not a shy person or nervous to talk about anything. Yeah. But I literally was like boom 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 boom. Yeah. And I could feel it, like, and it's starting to subside now. I'm hot, probably sweating. Yeah. But you know, I just had to preface it with I'm gonna talk about the not so we'll talk about it later too with some of the other things that we're talking about today. But when it comes to anxiety, a lot of people have it and a lot of people kind of dismiss it.
Yeah.
Like it's not a real thing. Right. And it really is.
Yeah, it's real. You can't ignore it. You have to pay attention to the signs. I'm glad you shared that with me.
Oh yeah, it's on me. Shit, I feel like I'm getting that shit now. So with me, I'm in therapy now. I had a life-changing experience happen in August. I love being a father. That's what I would say. I had my son who was, you know what I'm saying, 9 months. The delivery, everything didn't happen how it should have happened. I end up, you know, me and my wife, we lost our son. I got a tattoo for him because I would never forget him. But I feel like, you know, when it happened, I shut down a lot to everybody. I'm still trying to find my way back now, but shit hard. You know what I'm saying? Like, when I'm in therapy, I tell her, I'm like, you know, but when I'm in therapy, like she tells me, it's okay to find different coping mechanisms and everything. And it's okay to want to share my story with who I feel like I want to share it to. And if I don't want to share it with anybody, that's fine as well. Because everything is on my time, because this is a life-changing experience. Like, who wants to lose a damn child? You know what I'm saying? So the shit just, you know, it just made me, you know, just isolate myself to everybody. And it's like, that's what I'm saying, I'm still dealing with it now. Because it's not, I don't know if I say I would feel ashamed or embarrassed or whatnot, because it's like, it's not really that. It's just, it's a certain pain. It's like, you know, when you have a child, it's me personally having a child, it makes me happy. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I'm instilling these values and stuff into this human being to just watch them grow. And it's like, this shit makes me excited. Like, I just love being a father. But when that happened, it just made me feel like, damn, hey, why me? You know what I'm saying? So I don't know if I guess you could say I kind of felt depressed, anxiety. I don't know really about the panic attacks. I don't really, you know, label, I guess, that's happening, but I'm pretty sure it's all the above for me. You know what I'm saying? And I would tell anybody to definitely, you know, if you're dealing with anything, go to therapy, because that's the one thing that is helping me. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can talk to someone and like, they don't answer all your questions. They're just sitting there and they help you find different ways to cope, help you be like, look, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's okay to think like this. It's okay. You know, like, I don't want to, you know what I'm saying, hurt myself or nothing like that. You know, it's not that deep, but it's just like, damn, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you wait all this time to plan something out for a life and it doesn't happen. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think one of the things that gets me, like I told my wife, I said, damn, like, I can never not see his face. And I said, because I held him, you know what I'm saying? So the fact that I held him, saw his face, and I'm like, you know what I'm saying? We go home without him. Like, the shit hurt, you know what I'm saying? So, like I said, I deal with it every day. It's just hard, but I know for a fact, I told my therapist, I'm like, the one thing that keeps me going is my daughter, because at the end of the day, she expects daddy, you know what I'm saying? She expects me to be, you know, how I always am, the loving, playful, all of that. So that helps me push myself to be like, look, if I got to keep going to therapy, you know what I'm saying, sitting on this couch talking, that's what I need to do, because I'm never going to get over it. Like, that's just what it is. Yeah. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not going to say I can never get back to how it was before any of this transpired, but it's like, this is life changing and it's okay for it to be. And that's one thing that the therapist told me is like, this is okay because this is a life changing thing that happened. You know what I'm saying? So it's just like a now, the more I talk to, you know what I'm saying, the therapist and just sit back and analyze life, is like, you know, time is precious. I make sure I surround myself around my family, my daughter, of course, my wife, and you know what I'm saying, family, friends here and there. But it's just like, you know, this shit be hard. You know what I'm saying? So sharing it with people, because I remember probably like the first couple of sessions and the therapist was like, have you talked to anybody? I'm like, nah, you know what I'm saying? Because I said, shit, you know, I had a couple of days off of work, but I had to go back. You know, life still goes on. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, that's when I started to understand, like, man, like, shit be real out here. Like, life is real, but it's like, whatever I'm going through in my own personal life, people are just...
it's almost like the world moves on and you feel stuck. Yeah, you still feel stuck.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So it's, like I said, I wouldn't say that I'm depressed. I know I've been going through it. Mm. For sure. And just like I told her, you know, it's a big, you know, stigma. One, yeah, we black, we, you know what I'm saying? I'm a black man, so it's like, I can't show no weakness. You know what I'm saying? And she was like, well, why is that? I'm like, I can't show no weakness out here. You know what I'm saying? Like,
but what's really weakness?
But, and that's weakness? The thing. It's not the fact that, I ain't gonna say weakness per se, but when I have my moments, I try to make sure it's not visual to everybody. You know what I'm saying? That's so I've had a lot of times I've had my moments, you know what I'm saying? In my truck, in my work truck, I work, you know what I'm saying? I'm by myself in my truck. So, you know, I can just put my hood on, you know what I'm saying? Throw some shades on and I can just be crying at the light. You know what I'm saying? Cause it's like, damn, I just saw my son's face again, but he not here. You know what I'm saying? Like, I walk past his room in my house, he's not here. You know, so I would just tell anybody that it's okay to go to therapy, talk to somebody. If you feel depressed or anxiety or panic attacks, it's okay to talk to someone, because even the hardest person or the person that everyone comes to for advice, because I kind of feel like I'm, you know, a lot of people come at me for advice and it's like, a lot of people come at me, but it's like, damn, like I need to talk to somebody because I'm struggling. You know what I'm saying? It's not like, even though I know people have had reached out to me, you know, just to show that they love and care, but it's like, bro, like this shit is deep. You know what I'm saying? And be kicking my ass sometimes. But the one thing that, you know, like I said, that keeps me going is, you know what I'm saying, my daughter. So it's like, And I know, like, the whole meaning for my tattoo is, you know, it's the leaf and the teardrop. You know, it will be a better day. We will have a good future as well. So, I mean, the whole stigma on, you know, mental health and everything, it is real. You know, it anything in life, I guess people call it PTSD or whatever, it's like, anything can affect you. And it's like, when stuff affects you, you have to find that, whether it's that one person, a friend, family, or a therapist, definitely go and sit and talk, because you're just going to better yourself. You know what I'm saying? And like I said, they're not going to give you all the answers, but they help you get through it. And it's okay. And it's okay. Just like we had in the interview, it's okay to be sad. Like, you're going to have your days when the shit just hits you. Like, I have days when it just hit me and I'm like, fuck. You know what I'm saying? Like, let me find somewhere where I can just let it out. You know what I'm saying? And once I let it out, I'm like, okay, like, I'm coming back to normal. It's out. Okay, let me continue on about my day. So, that's kind of pretty much my story, instead of, without going too deep in it. But that's what I currently, you know what I'm saying, and dealing with and fighting through, because, you know what I'm saying, I ain't no quitter, you know what I'm saying? Definitely. And I know I got a purpose, so I got to, you know, do what I got to do, you know what I'm saying?
You know, we here for you, brother. And
oh, yeah, for sure. Y'all my secondary family, you know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
That you spoke on life-changing events. Everybody here shared their event, their experiences. I'm glad that you did that. And if I could be honest with you here, like Brother Keon was saying in the interview, after I say this, I'm going to move on. But it inspired me to be honest as well. I mean, I was definitely honest in the initial start of this episode with my experiences, but I didn't really go in into detail. And y'all inspired me just now to do so. I think, you know, we all have different experiences. I've seen a lot. I don't vocalize a lot. A lot of experiences, close encounters, near-death situations. You know, but I think the one thing that I can really stress that plays the most in my mind over and over, it has the most effect on me, like I said, just having near-death situations, okay, you know, having a gun pulled on you multiple times, being in a car accident, falling asleep behind the wheel because you're intoxicated, almost losing your life, almost killing somebody else, losing one of my best friends back in August to him committing suicide. The one thing that really, and all those things play in my mind and has affected me to the point where I had to step away from that bottle, because that bottle was always my go-to to get through those certain situations when I was depressed. Mm-hmm. The one thing that still plays a factor, and you mentioned it being a father, is my daddy issues. I love my dad. I love both of my parents. And I'm not using this platform at all to speak down on him, because I love that man to death. I love my mom to death as well. But what I will say about him, it's certain things that he's done and hasn't done still affects me to this day, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
and I don't think he really gets it. We've had conversations, but me being a 30 plus year old man now, when I talk to him, and I just seen him last week, it still doesn't register, because most of the time when we talk, it's about what I can do for him. How can I aid him? Because he has an illness that hopefully, you know, one day he'll conquer. But it's affected me to the point from childhood to now that I just made a vow to myself, when it's my turn to be someone's father, I can't be that. I have to be the opposite of him. Because he's hurt me that much. When you see somebody that you love and you going through it and you want to help them, but like I said, they keep slapping your hand, and every time you're there for them, they just go back to the same antics. After a while, you kind of like, you know what? What else can I do? You know what I'm saying? You don't, obviously, you love me, but you don't want my help. I didn't share that initially because I was, you know, a little bit more reserved. Y'all kind of put me on the spot by starting first. But I think that's the biggest thing that's really weighed on me throughout my whole 30 plus years of living, is just the fact that certain things he exposed me to early on still plays in my mind now. And his lack of presence at times. Even to this day, it's times that I want to call him and talk to him about certain things. I can't do it because he's not going to be able to hear me, because he's too caught up in what he has going on. You know what I'm saying? I don't have no other male figure that's older that I can really go to. And I be wanting that. I be needing that. So that's why I really lean on my brothers a lot. You know what I'm saying? And other brothers that's not here that, you know, have their father figures that I could kind of ask, you know, what this like, or, you know, what do you ask your dad? But, yeah. Wrapping that up, I would just say, you know, pay attention to the signs. You know, it doesn't necessarily mean that you have a disorder or anything like that, but talk to someone. Whatever it is that you got going on, that you're going through, make sure you reach out to somebody that's close, and you share that, because it's going to make you feel better. Holding stuff in, it can only, you know, explode, you know.
You have to let it out.
You have to let it out.
You have to talk to somebody.
And to add to that, because a lot of the times, or sometimes, depending on what you're dealing with, you're not going to speak up.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, like, I know for me personally, I mentioned anxiety, but I have dealt with depression, and it is not it's a very dark place to be in. And it's very difficult sometimes to pull yourself out of that.
Right.
And so I'm just so thankful that I have an amazing support system, mm-hmm. like people who are my anchors. My mom, mm-hmm. I talk to her every single morning on my way to work, and she really grounds me. And you, a podcast member over here to my right, mm-hmm. she helps me so much, mm-hmm. just being a sounding board for me. You know, sometimes it may not necessarily be what I want to hear, but I know she has my best interest at heart. So yep. I think another thing too is, if you have a good support system, be very, you know, be very thankful. Because sometimes, again, especially if you're dealing with depression, I know for me personally, I would become a recluse.
Yeah.
A hermit crab.
Yep.
And, you mm-hmm. know, come out of the house.
For what?
I have everything here. Yeah, for what? I have everything here. Yep. And it's very easy sometimes to just kind of sulk within yourself and stay there. But, you know, like you said, you have to dig really, really deep to come out of that.
Definitely. Yeah. And find things that, you know, can uplift you. You know what I'm saying? Whatever it may be, whether it's, you know, getting the word. You know what I'm saying? Going to church or not attending church, or watch a church on TV or whatever that you know can uplift your spirit in those dark times. Channel that, use that, and just know that, you know, it's going to take time, but as long as you're doing all of the above, it's going to get better, you know? Just keep trucking.
Not to cut you off, but yeah. I feel like, you know, some people... Not to disagree with your point, I feel like, you know, some people will say just go to church and make you feel better, but it's like, that's not necessarily true. You know what I'm saying? Because even though, yeah, you can go and people will be like, just pray about it, it'll be okay. But it's like, no, bro, like me praying about it is, that's halfway of doing the work, but I need to do more work and actually sit down and talk to somebody. It's okay to, you know, find someone that you can sit down and talk to someone, because that's really what you really need. Like even if, okay, like just starting off, if your coping mechanism is to drink or to smoke, like I said, I mean, I've been in therapy, so they've told me, you know, if that's what you start off with, it's okay, but we don't want you to end up, that's all you do. You know, we're going to end up getting you off to find other positive things to do with your time so you don't have to go to the bottle. You don't have to roll the blunt. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah. I mean, church is good. Since this happened, I haven't been, because I'm like, I'm not ready for that. But me sitting down and talk to someone that's not going to judge and that's just wants to hear me out and you know, because sometimes I feel like, you know, not just church, but just religion. Sometimes it's just like, oh, you be all right. Just pray about it. Like, no, so my nigga.
I'm sorry not to cut you. So you feel it's dismissive when someone says it in that particular moment?
Yeah, if they just pray about it, it's like, my nigga, like, I've been praying about it. Like, this shit, I need to sit down and talk to someone. Like, I just feel like a lot of some people say or think that if you just pray about it, that's just it. And it's like, no, like, I need more than just me praying about it. Like, I really need to sit down and talk to someone, because it's like, I'm not going to give you the whole full how I may feel, but it's like, bro, like, I have to stay sane I have a reason to stay. I need to stay sane. You know what I'm saying? And me just praying about it is cool, but I need to actually sit down physically and talk to someone, like face to face, that can try to steer me into the right direction. You know what I'm saying? So that's what I'm saying. Church is fine, but it's okay as well if you need more than just going to church and praying about it. It's okay. Cause I've heard some people that, you know, that are deep in the church is like, well, just pray. You don't need to go to counseling. I had to correct them. Like, what? Like,
yeah, I don't.
Yes, you do, bro. Yeah. Like, what's wrong? Like, I don't like how
the some second people, part of that is what I take, you know, the most issue with.
Yeah, like you don't have to go to
like
counseling.
You don't have
like,
to
bro,
go to,
yes,
because faith exactly. without works is dead. Exactly. You have to.
You have to do your part. Right. You know what I'm saying, to try to get better. So
yeah, it's a balance. Like I say, you know, I mentioned church, but definitely, like, you still need to talk with someone. Church is just one option and one outlet for that, depending on the individual. Because, like I say, I don't frequent like I should. But at the end of the day, I look at the different outlets that I do have, and I make sure that I express what's going on to get it out, whether it's something creatively, whether I'm sitting down talking to someone, whether I feel like going to church and getting that word, whatever it may be for you. Just make sure you don't keep those feelings bottled up inside to yourself, but for so long, because like I say, the longer you do, it's going to explode. Mentioning anxiety, moving on to someone who's dealing with that in a public standpoint, in the spotlight, Summer Walker, she mentioned that she suffers from social anxiety. And she's a singer-songwriter. She's basically one of the, you know, one of the top artists in the game right now. And she has been very vocal about her frustrations and her, I would say, displeasure with the industry, the music industry, coming to terms with it, coping with what comes with the industry and what people don't realize that artists have to go through. Mm-hmm. What's your take on that? What's you guys' take on that? Is she? Because I've heard somebody say before, like, you know, she's very talented, but maybe she's not cut out for this business. Because I think, you know, once you come into the music industry, you have to know that this is what comes with the territory. Being greeted by fans, dealing with, you know, you know, she says she suffered from social anxiety, but you have to go on tour to promote your product. You know what I'm saying? The music. So how does she deal with that? Did she think about that? Should she have thought about that before she got into the business?
I mean, I don't know.
That's hard to say.
Yeah, it is. Because it's kind of like, I don't know if this is what, maybe she didn't expect this. Maybe she didn't expect to get as big as she did. Maybe she didn't expect her album to do as good as it did. Yeah. But my thing is this, you know, at first I get it. Social, I mean, anxiety is real, period. But I get it. Social anxiety is just as real. But I can see why people think it's I'm not going to say a hoax or nothing like that, but it's almost like, you know, you're a celebrity. And instead of bragging, oh, I have social anxiety, why not talk about how you're getting help to cope with your social anxiety? Why not talk about the things you do to, you know, recover after a show or whatever, or talk about the help? I just feel like now it's, I don't know if this is her call for attention for help. I don't know. But it's at the point where it's like, if you're going to talk about it, talk about you getting help with it, because you are now a celebrity. Okay. This is something you're going to have to deal with. And now you done made a mark for yourself. So you up there now. People really want to see you. People coming out for you, you know? So
and
I just
feel
like.
You got trolls.
Just
want to push your button.
I, for one, would hope it's not something that she's doing for attention. I do, you know, on one hand, it's like, yes, you are a celebrity, meet and greets, tours. This is something that comes with the territory. But then on the other hand, these celebrities are still regular people.
They're human beings.
They are regular people that go through. How many celebrities do we know here in the news overdosed? Yeah. All this money in the world, but they still found a way to kill themselves. They're not happy. They're unhappy. And I feel that we kind of got to be a little careful and a little more understanding. I feel like her core fans may be the most understanding. Yeah. Hey, she's being vulnerable. She's bearing all. She's saying, listen, yeah, I get all of that, but I'm telling you, that this is what I'm suffering from.
Going, through real life shit.
And, you know, I haven't really gone on her page to see how many times she's posted about it to know whether or not she's kind of like, okay, social anxiety, but not really saying, okay, so this is how it affects me and you know, this is what I do to cope with it. But I feel like me personally, I can empathize with what, you know, a little bit of what she's going through when it comes to that. And I feel like her fans could be, you know, a little more understanding. I get, again, these are regular people, and like Victoria said, she probably didn't think that she would be as big as she is. Yeah, she is. And a lot of the stuff that she's doing is a part of the package, meaning I mean, interviews,
meet and greets,
stuff like that. She's like, I just want to do, but when I say a part of the package, it's probably, this is something that's in her contract. You have to do this regardless of the fact, you know, I really don't want to do this, but because this contract says I have to do it, I have to do that other part. When her, you know, she probably just, you know, I saw a couple of videos of her just in a little studio singing to a, you know, computer. She probably just wants to do her music and that is it.
Yeah. I think the fame came way too quick for her.
Go ahead. I was going to say, maybe she didn't even realize she had social anxiety until she got famous and had to perform in front of a large group of people. Like, oh shit, what's this?
The way she talks is as if she dealt with this.
But the way she's probably been talking, like times 100, because you got to think you're a big celebrity. A lot of people like your music and following you, so it's like they're going to critique every little thing. I don't like how she smiled in this picture. I don't like how she doing it. Like, so I guess mentally it can kind of get to you.
And everybody commenting is going through something. It's just their stuff is not
hurt. People can hurt people. You know what I'm saying? Because they're not dealing with their hurt. So. It's easy to distribute shit. Yeah, you look crazy. Any celebrity can be like, well, I don't care about comments, but they're a human being just like we're human beings. Their feelings can get hurt just like our feelings can get hurt. So, I mean, I just hope she, you know, does the work. And, you know, because her music is fine. I like her music.
I like her music.
You know
music.
What I'm saying? She's definitely dope artist.
I will be, if I can be frank.
You said this before.
Yeah, and I'm going to say it.
I agree with you. I know my opinion
is going to rub some people the wrong way, but we are truly opinionated people. And I don't mind sharing because I'm confident in what I say. I think her music is dope. She's a very talented songwriter. I don't think she's a star.
Bingo.
Reason I'm saying that is I've seen her and how she handles the public, and most recently at the Soul Train Awards, when she accepted her award and her speech, she was quick to get off the stage. She couldn't handle it. I just don't, when I see Summer Walker, nothing about her to me says star. I think that she will be a great songwriter for other artists. Mm-hmm. I think she knows how to construct a song and make a hit record, but, and just with her coming out with the social anxiety and everything, I think that's, I don't know if she's cut out for being in the limelight. And that's, you have to have certain skin to be in the limelight as fast as she got shot into the limelight with her music and her talent. I think this is a proven example that it's not meant for everyone.
I've actually heard that at some of her shows, the ones that she's actually been able to do, most of the show is her fans singing her songs.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So maybe like what Doug said, she didn't even realize this was an issue that she may have had.
Yeah.
Or maybe she did, but didn't know that it would be this amplified.
Yeah. That motherfucking Soul Train Awards picture.
She looked jive-nervous.
They're making memes about it. And
I'm sorry.
But that ain't going to make her feel
better.
So, well, I know, but it's just, hey, I had...
Yo, that's crazy.
I don't know. I think the fans were like most upset with her not hugging at the meet and greets. So, to me personally, she
just seemed standoffish and not, you know, like
but
I said.
But what do you expect at a meet and greet? Like, I guess it's subjective. Does it say you get to hug me with this meet and greet? I mean, if I'm being, hey, how are you? Do you as a fan expect an actual like a personal touch, a hug at a meeting?
I got paid. Oh hell yeah!
It's $150.
I want a picture with you. I want a hug
picture,
with you.
Hug.
you know, sign my book, tits, sign my, you know, something. Hey, what she said.
Right, what she said. That's what a meet and greet is.
With it. And like I said, she clearly but then does
it
not.
It could have been something that she, maybe she, it didn't, yeah. It didn't get amplified until she got into this position.
Right.
Maybe she's always had a little bit of, I think everybody has a little bit of social anxiety.
Yeah.
I mean, I work with all white people. And if I get in the room with all that.
All Asian people.
I'm sorry, but if I get in the room with all of them, I'm like.
Black, white.
Woo, okay.
Call it what it is.
Yeah.
But maybe she had it, but just not this severe.
Right.
But again, don't set up. Greet if you ain't gonna hug and but talk to these people, love on these
again,
people. They won't love on you.
That's in the contract. I personally think that if it was up to her, that's one.
Yeah, she wouldn't do that. If it was
no
just,
meet and greet.
Yeah,
she's just there so she won't get fired. Basically,
right, she's just fulfilling her contract obligation.
Exactly.
To be honest with you, I wouldn't be surprised if
she canceled
like I said,
the tour.
The talent is there. She did cancel the tour.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But with that being said, and this is a prime example. This is something to be learned from because this is. We're in a social media age, and this is the first of its kind where, like I said, we don't know how many artists deal with this, but she's the first to kind of be as open and public with it, especially in a social media vein. But I really don't see her.
After this, doing too much?
I don't see her maintaining too much longer because.
Unless she
I think it's
help.
Too much
unless
for
she just writes she music.
Yeah, like I said, like she stays in the background and help other artists. And I can see that.
And
for
then,
her.
You know, I mean, last
it's okay to be in the background.
But then she gets with London on the track. Like, he's London on the track. Like, so you're gonna really have the limelight on you.
Not necessarily. Like, but that's what I'm saying. She can write for other artists.
No, I'm just saying. I just went back to
he produced that joint to the T. Like, that joint.
Yeah, they got a great producer and writer collaboration, teamwork, you know, relationship. And they're a couple. So it makes sense. But, yeah, I was only compelled to, you know, we was going to talk about that and they, you know, blended in with, you know, what we were discussing as well. But just before we, you know, head out of here, I just want to let all the viewers know, you know, any type of mental, anything that's bothering you mentally, please pay attention to it. You know what I'm saying? You know, whether you've been diagnosed or not. You know, make sure that you're giving it the proper attention. You know, everybody says, you know, physical health is important. I'm in the gym. I got to look right. I got to do that. Your mind is just as important, if not more important.
Mm-hmm.
So the attention that you give your physical appearance, make sure you give that same attention to your mind state. Because at the end of the day, you could look goddamn as good as you want to look, but if that mind ain't right,
you ugly.
it defeats the purpose.
Yeah.
So just make sure that you know y'all get that from this episode and just talk to people and reach out and you know I hope this conversation keeps going because like I say us in our community specifically
exactly.
We need to talk more about mental wellness and what's going on.
Not only talking more, but the people that we're talking to accepting.
Accepting,
yes, right.
It's not nothing. True. It's nothing. You know, it's nothing to be embarrassed about. It's nothing to be ashamed about because you'd be surprised who's going through what you're going through.
Right.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. People just not vocalizing it. But I hope that you know y'all, you know, got something from our stories, and I appreciate my crew here, my cast being able to open up and be vulnerable because that's not an easy a feat, you know, and that's something that I. Struggle with at times, but I'm glad that we all found it in ourselves to share our stories today. And hopefully that can help somebody else that's listening. Before we get out of here, shout out to Roar Audio, who always makes us sound good. Shout out to the crew behind the scenes, Villain Visuals. You know, they always doing their thing on the camera, making us look good. And until next time, I'm your boy IV.
Girl Crown Vic.
Just the
J Meeks.
D Care.
And we are the top.
Good night.
In a minute.
Truly opinionated. do it for the culture. A group of minds can make a band and put some thoughts in order. A platform is all we need to be so filterless. Say what's on your mind, put it all in line. Your own perspective, living legends all in one room. It be so effortless, build it up like it's Tetris. Come with knowledge, so let us in. We doing it straight from the soul. That's how we feeling it, killing in every category. This would be the testimony. A lot of truth, which is as many opinions. So prolific a vision, you won't forget it. We over top of the gimmicks, the side of something new. This for our city ain't stopping until we reach our pinnacle. We got a lot to do, been breaking through, you know what we on. All gas, no brakes, what it takes. Let's set the stage to be great. This is the top for the day. You will see nothing better, beginning of something special. We're reaching another level, we pushing forward together. Everybody got ambitions, you know. We on the rise with the top, yeah, you know. Yeah, you know, I said what? Everybody got ambitions, you know. We on the rise with the top, yeah, you know. Yeah, you know, yeah, you know. Everybody got ambitions, you know. We on the rise with the top, yeah, you know. Yeah, you know, I say what? Everybody got ambitions, you know. We on the rise with the top, yeah, you know. Yeah, you know, truly opinionated.